Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. Today we are going to cover overview of supply chain management. So what are the learning objectives in this chapter? One, to understand the concept and definition of supply chain management. Describe the components of supply chain management. What are the various activities which comprise of supply chain management? Describe different methodologies or approaches to supply chain management. Elaborate on different business models used in supply chain management and enlist key features of an effective supply chain management. So coming to the introduction of supply chain management, we have covered part of this in chapter one and we'll be covering it here again once again. So supply chain management involves the cooperative planning and control of interconnected processes to effectively fulfill the genuine requirements of the final consumer, the effective incorporation of individuals and technological assets along with the synchronization or synchronized management of materials, information and financial flows plays a pivotal role in achieving a prosperous integration of the supply chain. You see, this is a very elaborate definition. What we have seen earlier, that we have looked at the flow of material, the flow of information, the flow of funds, the financial flows, etc. So this definition has covered every aspect of it. So this is to meet the genuine requirement, and this is a very, very important word, because when you say genuine requirement, the firm requirement of the markets or the consumer. So not just producing material and keeping it in stock, but making materials available as per the market demand. So it's a very comprehensive definition. Supply chain management is a critical aspect of overseeing operations in a large manufacturing firms. Company leaders highlight the importance of ensuring that the right product is available at the right store at the right time to enhance profitability. As a result, forecasting, inventory planning, manufacturing processes, and supplier relationships are all key factors in the company process. Again, very nice definition. So, getting the right product at the right store at the right time. Because we have seen in the earlier chapter also that if there is a stock out, if the product is not available, it's a lost opportunity for the company. So, it's for the company, or you can say for the supply chain, because everyone suffers. The OEM suffers, the distributor suffers, the retailer suffers. So it's important. And we have seen cases where a product is launched with a lot of, gala. And when people actually go to the store or go to the showroom, the product is not available. It's stocked out. So this kind of a thing can be very detrimental to the image of the company. So it's important to make the product available, right quality, right price, right time. We're looking at the concept, definition, and importance of the supply chain. So supply chain management holds significant importance for organizations due to its ability to enhance various aspects, including customer satisfaction. We have already seen that getting the right product in the sense what the market requires. Is your product up to the mark in terms of the technical innovations, etc.? In terms of the price, is it competitive enough? Does it have innovative features? You must have seen that even in a case of mobile phones, etc., people prefer a particular brand. Why is it so? Because of innovation. They're willing to pay a premium for the features which are being offered. So customer satisfaction is one part. So supply chain management enables businesses to fulfill customer expectations and ensure timely delivery of the products. Profitability. An effectively managed supply chain can lead to a reduction in operating cost and increase in overall profit. Right from purchase. Are you purchasing the right quality at the right price? Are you holding the right inventory? Are you spending the right amount on logistics. There is no unproductive logistic cost that is being spent. That means you are not unnecessarily moving the product from one place to other. There is a minimum movement of the product from, let's say, raw material to the consumer. So this is going to ensure that you have a cost-effective product made at the lowest possible cost, which will give you the better profits, higher profits. Efficiency. A streamlined supply chain can result in cost savings, better inventory management, and quicker order processing times. We have seen e-commerce, quick commerce, very good example of people are even willing to pay a premium provided they get the product quickly within minutes. Risk mitigation. Implementing automated risk mitigation strategies allows business to prepare for potential disruptions and evaluate their supply chain. So even within the supply chain, you need to mitigate the risk. Either it could be in form of multiple vendors, so that if one vendor is unable to supply, you have another vendor. Even geographical spread, having your vendors close by, so that in case there is any disruption, there is a political unrest, etc., your products movement are not hampered. That's why you must have seen many of the ancillary units are very close to the OEM, so that you know they can supply materials at short notice, minimum cost, minimum time. Collaboration. Building robust relationship with suppliers, distributors, and logistics service providers can enhance the overall performance of the supply chain. We will come to this in more detail, because there can be arm's length dealing where you are buying from a particular supplier simply based on, let's say, the price, or you are building a long-term relationship. You are having a partnership concept with the supplier, and not only with the supplier, but even with the distributors. You recognize the challenges they face, and you jointly try to resolve those challenges, so that it's a win-win. So this is a collaborative approach where you build trust, you build transparency between your business partners. Quality control processes guarantee that products adhere to the required standards. We talked about this again in the earlier chapter. Quality plays an important role. If your products are having defects repeatedly, then people are going to be discouraged, or they will choose a product where the complaints are much less, or there are no complaints. So quality is important, because nobody wants a product which keeps on failing or which does not deliver on their expectations. So defining supply chain management. So some of the definitions: supply chain management is simply and ultimately the business management, whatever may be in its specific context, which is pursued and created from the relevant supply chain perspective. Supply chain management is therefore a new perspective towards old activities. So it's basically about business management, whatever be the industry you are in, whatever be the product or service you are in. Basically, it's a management system, a business management system. So supply chain management is the strategic coordination of all activities involved in the procurement, production, and logistics processes required to deliver products or services to customers. It encompasses the planning and execution of operations across the entire supply chain, from raw material supplier to manufacturers, distributors, retailers, and ultimately the end consumers. I liken it to a movie. In a movie, a successful movie is one where the storyline is good, direction is good, acting is good, music is good, background score is good. It has to be a holistic affair, and something similar is there with the supply chain. You cannot have excellent manufacturing, but a very lousy procurement, or a very lousy, inventory management, or a lousy logistics, and you cannot expect the supply chain to succeed. So it's a strategic coordination, and that's the important word, because it involves all the activities, and all the activities have to perform at the optimum level. So this is important. Supply chain is the integration of key business processes from end user through the original supplier. What provides products, services, and information that add value for customers and other stakeholders. So this is the definition which is given by the Global Supply Chain Forum. It's a little old definition, 2004. So basically, again, what we are saying is that the supply chain needs to be seen in a holistic fashion, not as just one component. So you cannot look at one component and say manufacturing, that is supply chain. You have to look at it in its entity, right from even new product development, etc. This is part of the supply chain, because whenever a new product is introduced, you will need to work very closely with your suppliers for the components, for the unique elements which have to be manufactured by them and supplied to you. So it is both the flow of material, flow of information, right from the end user up to the original supplier, which is the raw material supplier. According to the Association for Supply Chain Manufacturers Management, Supply Chain Dictionary, supply chain management is the design. Now this is where we come into the new products, correct? It also can be the design of your existing product, because every product at some stage is design. Not only that, even the supply chain is design. So the design, planning, execution, control, and monitoring of supply chain activities to create net value, build a competitive infrastructure, leverage worldwide logistics, synchronize supply with demand, and measure the performance. So very nicely put, they have taken all the critical elements in this definition. So they say that you have to create a value for the end user, build a competitive infrastructure. So here you're talking of profitability, because competitive means you are going to produce at a reasonable cost, leverage worldwide logistics, which means you are going to use the best of the logistics, which will give you a strategic advantage, both in terms of speed and cost, even quality of the logistics. Synchronize supply with demand, which means that you will produce what is required by the market, so that you don't hold inventory. You don't block your working capital in the form of inventory which is not being sold. And lastly, measure the performance globally. So most important, any activity that you do, if it can't be measured, it can't be improved. So supply chain management is a concept. The supply chain management concept is characterized by its widespread and all-encompassing nature, as indicated by the definitions. However, this does not imply that it lacks distinctive and identifiable elements. It is still possible to discern several highly practical conceptual components within the realm of supply chain management. So you are looking at supply chain management as a black box, which encompasses all the activities, right from procurement of the raw material up to the delivery of the finished product to the customer or consumer. But what this concept says, it's still you can differentiate the different elements within. So it does not imply it lacks distinctive and identifiable elements. So it is still possible to differentiate each of the function. So like in a movie, you are able to say that this is direction, this is cinematography, this is music, this is acting. So you are able to actually identify the role of the various functions within a supply chain. These components encompass supply chain configuration, supply chain relationship, and supply chain coordination, effectively capturing all the practices and activities associated with supply chain management. So Lu gives this definition in 2011. I don't need to explain, it's very common sense. You can understand it by yourself. So the supply chain concept, these are the three parts of it. So configuration, coordination, and the relationship. And we'll look at each of these separately. So supply chain configuration. It is all about the construction of the supply chain. The construction of a supply chain involves the collaboration of various firms. We already saw in chapter one that there are series of suppliers who are adding value to the material at every stage. So the construction of a supply chain involves the collaboration of various firms, determining the size of the supply base for the original equipment manufacturer. So we also saw in one of the illustrations that you can have multiple suppliers for certain materials, etc. So they form the base, supply base for the OEM. The level of vertical integration, the extent of outsourcing in the OEM's operation, the design of the downstream distribution channel, and other related factors. So this can vary depending upon the complexity of the supply chain, the nature of the business. So we even talked about the backward integration, the forward integration. So instead of a supplier, I mean, you have a supplier base. If you find that that's a challenge, then you may also decide to go for a backward integration where you start doing the activities that your supplier are doing to have a better control over the inputs. This is commonly referred to as the supply chain architecture. The strategic decision making regarding the configuration of the supply chain occurs at a high level. Supply chain relationship. The supply chain relationship involves inter-firm relationships that are crucial for the success of businesses. These relationships mainly revolve around the original equipment manufacturer, first-tier suppliers, and first-tier customers. The nature and depth of these relationships are shaped by the nature of exchanges between the organizations. So this is the what we are talking about, the relationship between your vendors and also your downstream customers, which could be the distributors or the retailers. We'll see this in more detail. If the exchanges are limited to transactional details like volume and price, the relationship is likely to be more distant. So we talked about this, you know, where you are choosing a supplier mainly on the price or let's say the quality, but there is no investment, there is no relationship building, then this is a more of a distant relationship. Conversely, if there is a sharing of vision, investment plan, new product introduction processes, and detailed financial information, the relationship is considered a close partnership. Decisions regarding supply chain relationships are both strategic and operational. So the second part that we are talking of is more of a collaborative nature. So we have seen that many companies, especially in Japan, this concept comes from there. They treat their suppliers and even their internal customers, you know, not internal, I would say, but even distributors, etc., as their extension, as their partners. So they will invest into training them, auditing their process, improving their process, helping them to reduce the cost, because in doing so, both of them are getting benefited. So they are sharing vision in the sense, you know, what they are trying to achieve coming forward in terms of the new products, etc. So they are involved even in the new product design and implementation process. Because what happens is the suppliers sometimes are able to tell you that what kind of a design will make it economical for producing the component that they are supplying, rather than having the design team do it independently. And this way, the gestation time or the development time for the new product also can be compressed. And even financial information, that means, you know, cost of the raw material that your supplier is sourcing. The processing cost, like for example, if they are making a component, what is the manufacturing cost that they are having? So by sharing this information, the OEM can actually help them reduce the cost. And this benefit can be then shared between the supplier and the OEM. So this is more of a collaborative approach. Supply chain coordination. Supply chain coordination primarily involves the operational coordination between firms within the supply chain. So this is coordination for an operational reason on an ongoing basis. It can, of course, be also for product development, but mostly it will be for the operational coordination. So this coordination focuses on ensuring smooth material flow from supplier to buyer and ultimately to the end consumer in an efficient manner. Effective inventory management across the supply chain is often a central aspect of this coordination. So what it means is, whenever there is going to be an upturn in the demand, you are informing your suppliers about the same. You are also informing your distributors about the same, so that they can start building up their inventory to cater to the increased demand. Likewise, even the raw material supplier needs to know in advance that there is going to be upsurge, so that they are capable of, they can cover their raw materials and they are in a position to supply the materials to you. And this has to be done in an efficient manner. What this will ensure is you are not building huge inventories across the supply chain. Everyone is gearing up to meet the requirement without having any excess inventory. So again, you are looking at a holistic management of inventory across your supply chain. So effective inventory management across the supply chain is a central aspect of this coordination, which is the main purpose. So you are trying to meet the market demand. At the same time, you don't want excess inventory to build up, or you don't want a stock out to happen. So it helps you both ways. Production capacity forecasting, manufacturing scheduling, and customer service are all key components of supply chain coordination activities. Decisions regarding supply chain coordination typically revolves around the operational considerations. So we already discussed this, that at every stage, because forecasting is not only for the manufacturing and scheduling, it's also for the raw material procurement. So that means this information also flows to your vendors, also flows to your distributors. So that, and another aspect, which I forgot to mention on the earlier slide, you are taking into consideration the inventory across your value chain or the supply chain. So you know exactly what is the inventory which is lying with the retailer, inventory which is lying with the distributor, inventory which is lying with you, and the decision you take is based on the total inventory available in the system. So you are not only looking at the inventory which is with the OEM, but you are looking at the total inventory. So you are not building excess inventory where you are saddled with huge stocks, and let us say for some reason the demand did not materialize, then you are stuck with this material, which can actually result in obsolescence. So historical evolution of supply chain. So in the pre-industrial area, what was the kind of a supply chain you had? So in the period preceding the Industrial Revolution, supply chains were straightforward and community-based. So it was very simple. A raw material supplier would, make the raw material available, and they will supply it to either the intermediate or the OEM. It was a very, very straightforward, no complexity. Number of products, etc., were less. You know, like the story goes, you know, that Ford, when they were manufacturing the cars, they initially started manufacturing a passenger car, which was a single model with a single color. Now, you can imagine with that kind of a situation, it's very, very plain and simple. There are not too many varieties. Like even you may know that in the good old days in India, we had two or three cars. And unlike what you see today, you have so many variants of the car, you know, right from a basic model to a luxury model within the same car model. Those days, there was nothing like that. You had one model and that's it. So you only had to choose between the car manufacturer and you got a standard car. Probably all that you could choose among the car was the color. Coming to the next stage, Industrial Revolution, which is late 18th century to early 19th century. The Industrial Revolution represented a pivotal change. The emergence of factories and mechanized production significantly enhanced output capabilities, necessitating more systematic logistics. So many of the management systems which you see today, they started actually coming with the Industrial Revolution, because that is when the mass production actually started. Prior to that, if you look at the pre-industrial area, you had a kind of a custom manufacturing, you know, like every item was manufactured, you know, to a specific requirement or a specific demand. Coming to the earlier 20th century, scientific management and mass production. So this is the next stage. So Industrial Revolution did start this system of mass production of cars, etc. But in the early 20th century, it really took on a new shape with the realization that when you produce en masse, the productivity is very high. And this was partly because of the assembly line concept, where you have a car moving, you know, from stage to stage, where one component or one system is being assembled. So prior to that, you had a group of people who would assemble a car. And, with the assembly line concept, you found that every person did one task which he was very good at. So this improved the productivity, reduced the cost, improved the output, both in terms of quality and volume. Post-World War II era, emphasis on logistics and inventory management techniques. So as the scale started going up, complexities started, you know, because you required huge amount of material. So there people started realizing, you know, that you had a problem storing material. You had a problem storing components, raw materials, etc. So that is where more and more scientific techniques, management techniques started coming in. 1970 to 1980s, system approach and globalization. So this is the time when the computers came in. And increasingly, you know, when you are dealing with thousands of components, as in case of automobiles, etc., it's very difficult to manage so many components and monitor them, monitor the inventory levels, etc. But with the advent of the computers, this became possible. And that's how the system approach started and the globalization in terms of sourcing material from globally, wherever it was available at the best cost or the best price. Coming to 90s, technological advancements and outsourcing and partnership. So initial concept was that companies used to think that they had to manufacture everything themselves. If a company was making cars, they made the engines, they made the components, they will even make the nuts, bolts, everything. In 90s, gradually the concept became that you don't have to manufacture everything. You can outsource certain components from people who are good at it. So today, if you look at a car, you will find that there are engineering parts within the car which are made by very specialized people. seats are made by one person, the steering wheel is made by somebody else, horn is made by somebody else, there may be components of the engine, electrical parts, dashboard, which are made by different people. So this was the technological advancements which came in with very specialized functions, and outsourcing became a big thing. So the ancillary industries, etc., really took on a big shape. Of course, it started much earlier in the 70s and 80s, or even a little earlier than that. Coming to the 2000s, lean and agile practices and sustainability. So lean, so that you know you are using minimum resources, you are working with minimum working capital, minimum inventory. Agile, that means your systems are very flexible and very quick to respond. Agile is basically where you're quick to navigate any changes. So agile practices meant that if you have to develop a new product, you could do it in the shortest possible time. Sustainability, because you know people realized that certain practices are detrimental to the environment, and this realization, so this led to your various Euro standards, for emission, etc., which in India we have the Bharat standards, where emission control came into play. So even in terms of the build quality, etc., you started looking at which operations are more energy efficient, which operations can be made more environmental friendly, because you became very sensitive to the environmental changes, etc. Even use of fuels, using greener fuels, not using the things like coal or wood, etc., in the energy segment. 2010 to the present, digital transformation, resilience and risk management, and circular supply chain. So this is the trend which we have been seeing, that digital transformation, because you have digital connectivity throughout the value chain or the supply chain, resilience, which is mainly because of the risk management. So the known risks are mitigated, and you are able to cater to any sudden change in demand, any disruptions which can occur. You have managed to overcome many of the risks, so which no longer exist. And of course, circular supply chain, where you are also taking into account how a product right from birth to grave can be managed in a sustainable fashion. Future trends, advanced analytics and supply chain 4. We'll see what that is as we go forward. So in conclusion, supply chain management has progressed from basic logistical function, which we saw in the pre-industrial area, to a sophisticated technology-oriented discipline that is integral to global business strategies, mirroring broader economic, technological, and societal transformations. So we have seen the advent of the sustainability concepts, and even looking at the environmental impact of the products and the manufacturing technologies. So as organizations continue to navigate emerging challenges, supply chain management will likely advance further, prioritizing efficiency, sustainability, and resilience to the various known risks. So coming to the components of supply chain, this is part of the framework of supply chain. It is crucial to have a clear understanding of the concept of supply chain management before delving into its component. Supply chain management encompasses the supervision of movement of goods and services from their raw material stage to the final delivery of product to the end consumer. We have already seen this, that it covers every activity from raw material to the end consumer. That means till the product reaches the end consumer. A successful supply chain management strategy involves optimizing various processes to enhance customer value and minimize production expenses or production cost. So we talked about the movie example where every department has to function in their best way. So here we are saying that every strategy, every function, every process has to be operating at optimum level. So we are now talking of the components of supply chain management. Planning. It is essential for companies to strategically plan and oversee all resources to meet the customer demand for their product or services. This can be accomplished by meticulous planning to identify the appropriate technology to utilize while also maintaining an efficient and effective supply chain. So the most important part for a supply chain, first and foremost, is planning. When you decide to start a business or put up a business, the first thing is to do is to plan. Where do you put up a plant? Where the raw materials are available? Where is your market? Where are going to be your distributors? Which are the retailers that you're going to be working with? So this needs a very strategic plan. Even in terms of, you know, the operations, like where are you going to get the skilled manpower? Where are you going to get the power or any other resource? Like, for example, if your manufacturing is going to require a lot of water, then you need to be very close to a water source. You cannot be in a place which has, perpetually having a water shortage or some sort of a thing. So the planning of a supply chain requires a strategic plan. Sourcing. So every organization must choose a vendor or multiple vendors to supply the material and services required for manufacturing their goods. Once the vendors are selected, the supply chain manager is responsible for overseeing and maintaining the relationship with these vendors. This involves placing orders, receiving shipment, handling inventory, and approving payment to the vendor. This is more of a transactional picture, but we already talked about the collaborative approach. So it is a selection of the vendor. And when we say selection of the vendor, again, this is a strategic decision. Because are you going to choose vendors who are near you? Are you going to choose vendors who are far off? Yes, in many cases, you may have a distinct advantage, even if your vendor is located, let's say, 2,000 kilometers away. But then that distinct advantage has to overweigh or overcome the limitations of a vendor who is far away. So unless you have a distinct advantage, you would not select that. Also, we talked about the collaborative approach because this is more of a transactional thing where you place an order on the vendor or your supplier and then you receive the shipment, you account for it, inspection, stocking, and then you handle the inventory. And finally, based on the commercial terms, you approve the payment to the vendor because based on the payment terms that have been agreed, after you receive the material or from the date of the invoice, you have to make a payment to the vendor.